I'm Nancy Wolf, and I'd like for you to join me in scripture. Would you please stand if you're able? As I heard this song from Sam, I realized how much this scripture is about love. It comes from the New International Version, Luke 18:35-43, about the blind beggar. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What's happening?" They told him Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all of the people saw it, they also praised God. This is the word of God from the people of God. Amen.
Thank you so much, Nancy. That was wonderful. And a reminder, every week we would love to have some scripture readers. Volunteering is nice. Drafting will happen if that doesn't. So just to let you know. In 1954, there was an article in Harper's Magazine by the author Sylvia Plath entitled "The Death of Lady Mondegreen." And the article was about her love for an old 17th century Scottish ballad, which was called "The Bonnie Earl of Moray." And she was reflecting on her love for that ballad and her memories of a certain verse that just awakened all those, this romantic feeling that she had for the times. For to her, these lyrics bespoke of a Romeo and Juliet romance. "Ye highlands and ye lowlands, oh, where have ye been? They have slain their Earl of Moray and Lady Mondegreen." That just touched her heart when she was younger. And as she grew older, she didn't know just how much that ballad meant to her. But alas, the title of her article, "The Death of Lady Mondegreen," had absolutely nothing to do with the death of Lady Mondegreen. It had everything to do with the death of her understanding of that Scottish ballad. For you see, she misheard those words from long ago, for they are truly this: "Ye highlands and ye lowlands, oh, where have ye been? They have slain the Earl of Moray and laid him on the green." Now, a term that Sylvia created that we continue to use is a term that we used to signify that phenomenon when we mishear a lyric or a line from a poem or a phrase, and we make sense of it anyway and continue to try to understand what we're listening to, even if that understanding is completely wrong, even if it changes the whole meaning of what the song or the poem or the story is all about. And of course, that term is Mondegreen. And we all have our own Mondegreen of moments, don't we? Especially when it comes to lyrics of certain rock songs. As a young man in middle school, about 8 years after this song actually was on the radio, I fell in love with the song "Purple Haze" by Jimi Hendrix. "Purple haze is on my brain. Suddenly things don't seem the same. Acting funny, I don't know why. Excuse me while I kiss this guy. That is not the lyric I discovered when I sang that out loud one day. It is, excuse me while I kiss the sky. I'm not the only one to misunderstand that verse. In fact, I think that's the number one most misunderstood verse if you go out and Google Mondegreen. In the 80s, there was an up-and-coming blues band that I dearly loved, the Fabulous Thunderbirds. You all remember the Fabulous Thunderbirds? Tough Enough, the great song. They came in concert in Springfield and went to see that concert, and they had a new hit that was out. I didn't know the title of the hit, but they had this great chorus, and everybody in the concert was singing along, and I thought it was a great chorus because I thought it was hilarious. As everybody was singing, I just joined in. Wipe it up, I made it. Wipe it up, I made it. Well, people looked at me like I was crazy because the actual song was, wrap it up, I'll take it. Wrap it up. Come on, you all have had those moments. Think of Elton John. Hold me closer, tiny dancer. How many of you have heard, hold me closer, Tony Danza? Yeah. Or Queens, We Will Rock You. Big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place. Some of you hear it as, big disgrace, kicking your cat all over the place. Wow. Mondegreens. And when we talk about it in song, or even as we misinterpret certain poetry, it can be pretty funny. But how many times do we mishear the people around us? Frankly, how many times do we not even hear the people around us at all? That's an important skill for us all to know. We all would think that we know how to listen and listen well. But we also know just how busy we are. And when we're in conversations with people, especially if we have these with us, and we happen to be checking things, we don't hear everything. We don't listen to everything. And we are missing out. And they are missing out on us. It's been said that to be able to be heard is so close to being loved, that to the ordinary person, they are almost indistinguishable. It's important for us to learn how to truly listen to another person. Because we have this problem where we are on the run constantly and we half listen to another person. I struggle with that each and every day. And I don't want to. I'm a pastor. I have been trained to listen. I pride myself on listening. But then I also realize that I don't always get everything that somebody says to me. How many of you, when somebody is talking to you, is sharing with you that there's that moment where you're going, wait a second, what are they talking about here? You were with them to a point, but then all of a sudden some other thought came to your head, or the phone started ringing or something like that, and you didn't hear everything. You know, I have this great way of working things out with my wife, Tammy. Because I'll be in the midst of something. I would like to say I'm in the midst of reading something important or working on my sermon or things like that. But too often it's probably playing a video game or listening to a video. And Tammy is trying to talk to me. And what I have learned is not to pretend that I've heard what she said, but to say, can you repeat that to me? And yes, it's frustrating for her and frustrating for me, but I tell you, it's better than trying to fake it. At least I know what she's trying to tell me, and I hate that. But it spurs me on to keep working on it. L is the second letter in our acronym of BLESS, as we're talking about how we can be a blessing to others. That's our way of connecting people to Jesus. That's our way of helping us to make new followers for Jesus for the transformation of the world, is to bless people. Last week we began with B, with begin with prayer. And today we are going to L for listening, because listening is so important. Because we have a hard time doing it. There's another saying that says that speaking is not the opposite of listening. Waiting to speak is. Because that happens, doesn't it? Not only may we space off when people are talking to us, but we also have something we want to say. Maybe we want to fix a situation. And so instead of continuing to listen to the person, we've already cut them off and our minds are working and we're trying to work overtime and to talk. We can't just wait to share what we are going to share, even if their part of the conversation has gone beyond that. It's especially difficult in the world of Zoom, amen? Or other communication places. We've learned new rules, new etiquette while we're on Zoom, where we mute ourselves so that people can take turns talking, because if we don't, then we talk over each other. And we half hear what people are trying to share. Sometimes two people will be saying the same thing, but we may not hear any of it because we're trying to wrestle with each other on how to talk, but most especially how to listen. Well, let me share some good news. We have a wonderful model for us when it comes to listening. And of course, that's Jesus. We know that everywhere that Jesus went, every place that Jesus went, every person that Jesus encountered, that he blessed them all. Those places, those people, with his presence. And as we read the gospel, we encounter his wonderful blessed teaching. We encounter his wonderful miracles. We encounter his amazing healings. But what we can also glean from our reading of the gospels is just what a great listener Jesus was. Let's think about that scripture that Nancy just read for us from Luke, where it's really more about not Jesus the healer as it is Jesus the listener. Here's Jesus going through Jericho. He's on his way to somewhere else, right? He's got other places to be. And he's going through Jericho and he's got his followers with him, but he's also got this crowd with him. So can you put yourself there? He's walking along with an entourage. And he's got a place to go. And all around him, is the noise of the crowd. All around him are so many noises. And yet there's this little small voice, "Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The voice gets louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And what do Jesus' followers do? As the scripture said, the leaders, the ones that led them, what is their response to that furtive cry? "Shut up!" As if to say, we've got other places to be. They want to shut down this blind beggar. But not Jesus, right? Jesus hears that cry. "Son of David, have mercy on me." And so he gets those leaders that were trying to lead him away from that blind beggar, and he tells them, he goes, "Bring me whoever is saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" And so they do. And as they're approaching Jesus, I'm thinking that Jesus could see probably that he's blind, as they probably got him by both arms as they're trying to lead him to Jesus, and he's heading that way, and Jesus can see that he needs to be healed. And you would think that Jesus would go, because he needed to see, right? But it's important to note that Jesus didn't just do that, did he? No. That man was brought before him, and then Jesus asked this important question: "What do you want me to do for you?" That's incredible. "What do you want me to do for you?" I mean, doesn't he know? Can't he see? Of course he can. But for Jesus, it's important to pose the question and then to listen. Because there could be anything that this man truly needed besides what was obvious to everybody else. The man shared with him, I want to see. And again, that request is so pregnant with what that could mean. It's not just to physically see, but it is to even see spiritually. I want to see. And so Jesus heals him and says, your faith has made you well. But I think it's so important for us to see what's going on here. Yes, Jesus did a miraculous healing of a blind man. And in Mark, he gets a name, right? It's Bartimaeus. So this man, this Bartimaeus, is now able to see. But only after Jesus spoke with him and listened to him. And Jesus does that all the time in the Gospels. When Jesus sends out his disciples and others in the mission of the 70 or the 72, however that's interpreted, when they come back, Jesus doesn't just say, all right, good job, let's get going. No, Jesus listens to them as they share stories about how successful their mission was. He listens to them and then he responds. And Jesus also listens to the place where he is. He's reading the room by listening. When Jesus is out in a deserted place and there's this huge crowd all around him and he's preaching and then he stops and all these people are still there because it's late, Jesus looks out and he hears. He listens to the voices and then he tells his disciples, you need to get these people something to eat because he's listening. Friends, even when he is dying on a cross, even when he's feeling so desolate, what do we hear in the Gospels? But that Jesus is listening to the thieves on either side of him and shares hope with one, today you will be with me in paradise. Those words of hope would not have been spoken had he not listened. So when we talk about, well, what does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? All we need to do is to be able to listen. But what that means is that we need to take the time to stop what we're doing and give people our attention so that we listen to them. Now, I say this knowing how much I struggle. In fact, as I was thinking through this message, it's like, man, there are so many times, which Tammy does know, there are so many times where I don't listen well. And it breaks my heart because I don't know what people are really trying to say. I try to think it through for them. But I know I'm not the only one. I believe everybody in this room and everybody online has the same experience, especially now. We are a world where we say so many things, but they fall on deaf ears. And we are called to listen. Because when we listen, several things happens. God works through us. Amen? God works through us, and as we truly listen to the other person, as we take the time, as we actively listen to the other person, then they are heard. They feel loved. Trust builds, and transformation happens for them. But it's not just them, is it? No, it's us too. We are blessed to be a blessing, and this is what happens. We listen, and as we listen, then we are blessed. In turn, as transformation happens inside of us. So many stories I could share with you. I'm only going to share one, and I'm thinking I probably shared this before, but tough. Maybe you didn't listen to it before, and now you will. I don't know. But I couldn't help but think of a mission trip with a youth group to Minneapolis, where it's late at night. I think it's like, 12:30. Everybody in the gymnasium where we were sleeping, where they were asleep, so I thought. And so I got up about 12:30, and I thought, well, I'm gonna hit the restroom while I can here in peace. And I went, and you know, as I'm in the restroom, one of our kids comes in. So, you know, a little uncomfortable. But I said, how come you're not asleep? He goes, well, I'm just awake. Can we talk? And you know, I'm pretty worn out, and it's like, I wanted to say no. We need to go to bed, but I didn't. Because already when he said, I'm up, and I want to talk, those were more words than I heard out of the mouth of this kid than I had in 3 years that he was in youth group. Because this kid was someone who was so socially awkward that it seemed like, I don't even know why he came to youth group or to church. It seemed like it was painful to him. If he tried to make friends, he would get teased, and he would do things to make people angry. You ever have friends like that would just do really annoying things, and sometimes even not just annoying but hurtful things? This was this kid. But he also was very sullen most of the time, and he hardly said a word. Anyway, he sat down on the floor of the bathroom right by the door, and I thought, ooh, this is going to be for a long night. And there was that part of me that was going, we need to go. You need to go to bed. But then God happened to me. And so I sat down on the floor across from him, and we talked. And he shared about what was going on in his life. He shared about his dad who was chronically ill, that he thought his dad was going to die. He shared how his mom was so angry at that, angry at God about that. He shared how he didn't really know what to do. And he shared how he really wanted to really be with all the other kids in our group, but it was such a hard time for him. In fact, there had already been two fights earlier involving this young man. So, sat and listened, because really, frankly, I didn't know what else to do. But you know, it was a blessing. Because I got to know this kid. He had been coming to youth group for 3 years, but I finally got to know this kid. And I love this kid. I could, in hearing his words, see where Jesus was working through him. And we had no more fights that week. And I was able to talk to this kid frequently beyond that point. Now, that doesn't mean that things were easy. In fact, sometimes things got a little worse. But at least we could listen. And transformation can happen. We're surrounded by people. Even in this room, the common saying, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm doing fine. And then we go off. We don't really listen. This is our human condition. And that's got to change. Because following Jesus means we need to listen. Transformation happens. When we listen, we share love. When we listen, we bless. And we are blessed. So, that begin with prayer thing we talked about last week, I would ask you to add to your prayer as you start in your... Are you guys blessing people every day, by the way? Have you chosen people in your life? Have you written down their names to bless them? Do you reflect at the end of the day, I've been able to bless these people and they've blessed me? Because that's living it out loud. That's living it on purpose. That's not, I'm going to church on Sunday, then I'm going to live my life like I always do. This is the real thing. Anyway, add to your prayers, Lord, help me to listen. Because we need that help. And when we begin to truly listen to one another, the blessings that we encounter are just wonderful. So, continue the mission to connect people to Jesus so we can make those new followers for Jesus Christ and do that by blessing them. And we do that by praying for them, and we do that by truly listening to them. That's something we can do, amen? Then let's do it. And all God's people said in this final time, amen.